May I speak in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Oh. When I started to read the readings as I prepared for this sermon, my first thought was, oh no, please not a passage exuding despondency and despair. The world is in the midst of a pandemic. We want to hear signs about hope. And of course, the Lord does not disappoint, does he? As I read on and got to the next gospel heading, which said, the coming of the Son of Man, all the signs of hope were there in front of me. How easy it is to focus on the negative things that come into our minds and get so bogged down by them that we fail to see the positives, the things that bring us hope and joy. And that's exactly what I've done. When I saw the negativity of the first part of the gospel reading, I froze, wondering how on earth I could make a meaningful sermon from it. And in doing so, I didn't remember to read the rest of the passage. When we allow that to happen, we open ourselves up to doubt and fear, and we deny ourselves the opportunity to savour the hope and the joy that Jesus brings into our lives. If ever we needed to know the hope and joy that Jesus freely offers to each of us, surely it is now. And so, encouraged by the second half of the gospel reading, I explored what other words of encouragement were suggested in other readings for today. And there it was, Psalm 100, the appointed psalm for today. In my personal Bible, there's an introduction to each psalm. And for this one, it says, Psalm 100, a psalm for giving thanks. The theme, an invitation to enter joyfully into God's presence. His faithfulness extends to our generation and beyond. The author, anonymous. This is what Psalm 100 says. Shout to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His love endures forever and his faithfulness continues through all generations. What particularly intrigued me about this psalm is that the writer is anonymous, and I wondered why that was, whether this person had been prompted to write it and not only wanted to give thanks and shouts of joy to the Lord, but to encourage others to do the same, and yet seemingly not wanting to take any personal credit. This very short psalm has captured the imagination of so many down the years. Its appeal endures, as we were reminded in verse 5. Does the Lord's covenant, love and faithfulness throughout all generations? Verse 3 says, know that the Lord is God. It is he that made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Now, this refers not to the making of humanity, but of Israel, when God constituted her as his nation at Sinai. It refers to the time of the Exodus. He guided his people through the desert as the sheep of his pasture. He instructed them to set up the courts of his tabernacle. It's very likely that this song would have been used regularly when worshippers arrived at the temple in Jerusalem, whether Solomon's or the rebuilt one after the exile. In New Testament times, the downfall of the Israelite monarchy, and centuries later, the destruction of the Second Temple, meant that the Lord's throne nor his temple courts could be taken any longer in the literal sense. And yet Psalm 100 continues to be sung as enthusiastically as ever by Jews and Christians alike, by the medieval church, by the Reformed Church in the 16th century. As the Jubilate, it found its way into the Church of England's prayer book. William Keith's hymn, All People That on Earth Do Dwell, is based on it. And over 450 years later, we still sing it. Perhaps there's a lesson here that we shouldn't be too quick to dismiss some of our ancient hymns as out of date, but rather to recognise that there must be something special about the words for it to still have a significant place in our worship today. And in our times, there is indeed something still special about the words of this song. Whatever form of it we may be familiar with, we cannot dismiss the breadth of its vision. It begins with calls to shout, worship, and come into God's presence. And worship in this context means serving. The common denominator in all three of these should be joy. And there is indeed joy when we know God as our Saviour, when we have that everlasting, indwelling relationship with him. God's promises to us are as real today as they were at the time of the Exodus. There can be no doubt that we are in difficult days with this pandemic, trying to imagine an end to it is becoming increasingly difficult. Shouting to the Lord, worshipping and serving him with gladness, and coming into his presence with joyful songs probably seems near impossible to many of us. But actually, it is possible. It may not be in ways we choose, but it is possible, even if we can't physically be together. One of the dangers of being in isolation that it's easy to mentally talk ourselves out of thinking creatively, because we just want things to be normal. Sometimes I find it helpful to read my daily Bible passages aloud instead of silently. You may like to try that too. If you normally pray silently, try praying aloud. You'll find that you soon overcome any self-consciousness. How about thinking of ways in which you can serve him with gladness, even if you can't leave the house? Is there someone who would welcome a phone call or a letter from you? If you are able to go out, is there someone near you who would welcome having some shopping done? Or perhaps a letter posted? Or even a socially distanced conversation? Or a walk? Do you have a special talent that could benefit someone else? Quite soon, there will be appeals for hats and scarves and gloves for the homeless. Could your knitting or sewing skills be put to good use in the additional time that you have available? Could you, like the psalmist, be that anonymous person who joyfully makes a difference to someone else's life? But maybe you just need to relax and regain some energy. Refocus on what's important in life. Give God the opportunity to talk to you. How joyful is that? And yes, it is still possible to come into God's presence with joyful songs. We may not be able to gather together and sing, but we can sing aloud in our homes, when we're doing the washing up or making the beds or all the other mundane things. What a wonderful distraction that would be. Perhaps you have a CD of Christian music that you've forgotten about. How about dusting them off? If you're good at technology, maybe you could download some. And if you really would like some music, but don't have any, let Reverend Heather know and we'll see if we can help. God created us to be in community. And that's why this time of pandemic is proving so difficult for many of us. But it will end. With God in our hearts, we will be led out of this, and we will gather together again to shout his praises, to worship him, and sing joyfully to him. As we wait, I encourage you to bathe yourselves in hope and reassurance of the words of Psalm 100, and know that God loves you. For the Lord is good, his love endures forever, and his faithfulness continues through all generations. Amen.